Welcome to the show, folks. This is the John Williams Show, but I'm not John Williams. And that lady over there isn't Kathy. Well, you are Kathy.
I am Kathy. I'm not John.
No, definitely not John.
Nope.
A lot better looking than John.
Oh,
no offense, John.
Thanks.
Love you. Great to be here. Thanks, everybody. It's Frank Fontana and Kathy Hart filling in for John Williams. Elif is manning the producer booth over there. Elif, good to see you. It's been
good
a while.
See you too. Yeah, it has been a while.
I love your name, Elif.
Thank you.
It's so pretty.
Thank you.
What is the origin of Elif?
You don't know this?
I think I do, but for all the people who've never heard it before, Kathy doesn't.
It's Turkish.
Nice.
Turkish. What, does it mean something?
Yeah, it's the letter A in the Arabic alphabet.
Huh. Elif. See, we're learning something already. 1 minute into the show.
We're going to learn a lot today, Kath. A lot about relationships.
Yay.
Food. Talking to dead people.
Yeah, that's pretty bizarre. You know, I've heard of this Concetta Bertoldi. I think she was on Real Housewives of New Jersey while ago. Not that that gives her credibility or anything. She's worked with Britain's royal family. I think she consults regularly with a lot of celebrities. But I'm just fascinated how people can just tap into someone so quickly, because we're going to plan on talking to Concetta about 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And she can hear your name. And then I think she wants the name of someone that you want to reach.
So somebody maybe who recently deceased.
Passed away.
Close to you.
A lot of what she does is just kind of give closure to people who lost loved ones that either didn't get to say goodbye or there's just something unfinished with them.
Yeah.
And somehow Concetta taps into that. And it's a whole mysterious world. Some people believe, some don't. But what I have seen of her, you can't make this stuff up.
My wife and I watch the Long Island Medium sometimes, and she's obsessed with this whole topic, by the way.
Oh, good.
She believes she speaks to dead people, too.
Your wife,
yeah.
Sherry?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, get out.
Oh, yeah. I'll see her sometimes, like, she'll be, like, staring at something and talking to herself. I'm like, you okay?
Well, wait a minute. Aren't you guys in a really old house?
We are. A 1920 Victorian house.
And there's a bunch of dead people in there.
For sure there is, because I went to the Historic Society in the town I live in, and I dug up the files going back to the origin of the home.
Yeah.
So apparently a general owned the home, and then the next family after that, or a relative of his, was a young child who passed away in the house.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to tell you a freaky story.
Okay.
We still have our old kids. We have a 4 and 7 year old, and we still have their toys in the attic. My son has this, like,
isn't that an album?
Yeah, toys in the attic. My son has this like Ferrari car that he used to, you know, like a walker that has like a horn and an engine sound to it.
Okay.
So I put this thing in the attic because it was making noise randomly.
Uh-huh.
No batteries. Like, it's insane. Okay.
Wow.
So I put it up in the attic, and all of a sudden, middle of the night, one night, I hear rum, 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 rum. It's the car going off for no reason. And I believe that child who died in that house was in that room.
From what I understand, my initial reaction is like, ooh, creepy. But then the more I hear about stuff like this or read about it or whatever, a lot of people just say, like, they welcome it. They're not there to hurt you. They just have unfinished business and they don't want to move on to wherever that may be. So we can talk to Concetta more about that. It's pretty fascinating.
It is a fascinating topic. And then later on in the show, we will be getting into some fun Halloween movies.
Yeah, Halloween Returns with Jamie Lee Curtis. It's been almost 40 years, if that doesn't make you feel old. I remember when that movie first came out and being absolutely terrified. I didn't want to go out trick-or-treating for a while, so we'll get into that. And there's a lot of tidbits about the fictional town that was supposed to take place in that we'll delve into a little bit.
How old do you think Michael Myers is now, like 80?
No.
He's got to be an old guy.
Yeah, I would think.
40 years this series has been around for the franchise?
Yeah, and look at Jamie Lee Curtis. She looks like crap in the movie, but I think that's intentional. When I saw her doing promos for the movie, she looks fabulous.
I always thought she was hot.
Oh,
like Fish Called Wanda. I thought she was just stunning.
Yep.
And I think she keeps herself really well.
She does.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she looks good. So we'll be talking about that movie and some other movies. And then Phil Vitale, we get to talk food.
Yeah, and you know, I got an interesting question for Phil. And we'll get to when he's here. But you know, in the age of the internet, it seems like everybody's a food critic.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, everybody's a critic, period.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I wonder, does it hurt his business? Has it taken away from, you know, the whole industry of food critics?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. We'll have to get into that with him.
Yeah.
and just talk food.
There's going to be this restaurant he reviewed called Free Rain. Have you been there?
I haven't. No. I told you I've been out of touch for like a year. I pretty much shut down and became a hermit. So for me, it was a lot of going out to Cheesecake Factory. With my kids.
At least they have a wide selection
in the burbs.
On a menu. I mean, there's only, 700 items on a Cheesecake Factory menu?
I know. Well, that's the thing. That's, I think, why it's so popular. Because everybody's happy. You'll get
right.
You'll find something you like on the menu. Something.
White chocolate macadamia. That's the best one.
Don't even.
That's so good.
Wait. Oh, that's
You're
Violetta.
Naughty.
I'm like, wait.
She
Elif's
right
not talking.
The best thing.
Who is that? Oh, that's so good. I'm with you on that one.
I get two pieces to take home.
Yum. Mm. So good.
So good. Hey, folks, by the way, Kathy Hart, this is her second appearance here on WGN Radio. If you missed us this Sunday, Kathy and I did our first show. Fun time. Kathy's going to be with us for a while. She's going to, next Sunday, you'll be off, but the following Sunday, you'll be back with us and having some fun for a couple shows after that.
It is fun. It's totally fun being in WGN, hanging out. Again, the views are just ridiculous. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, this is like kind of new but old for you.
You know what? It's just, I get so nervous beforehand.
Yeah.
And there's just something about being in the studio with headphones on, talking into a microphone. It's just so fun and natural. And
it's home, right?
Yeah, yeah.
21 years in the biz. I mean, longer, right?
I know. Well, at that station, yeah. So it's been, I'm dating myself, but it's been almost 30 years right out of Columbia College.
You know,
I started working.
I read a funny story about you.
Oh, great.
And did you fall asleep on your first radio gig in Rockford?
No, it wasn't Rockford. It was Milwaukee. It was an overnight shift. I literally fell asleep. I was working midnight to six. And I remember falling asleep because you work those hours. It's crazy how tired you can be. But normally when the music would stop, it would startle me because I wouldn't hear anything. And I would wake up and hit the next song or whatever. Well, this time I was out for 45 minutes.
Dead air?
I thought for dead air. 45 minutes. And the program director was the morning show guy, and he was coming in about an hour. So I thought he was awake. He heard all this. I am so in trouble. I'm going to be fired. He didn't say a word. Nobody said a word. I'm like, wow, must have a lot of listeners.
That, yeah, interesting. Falling asleep on radio. Yeah. Not the best comedy.
No, it wasn't, but yeah.
But look where it got you.
Yeah, apparently.
Radio Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Not so bad.
Uh-huh.
All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get the show started. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Welcome back to the John Williams Show. Filling in is me, Frank Fontana, Kathy Hart sitting across from me.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, so you mentioned something before we got on the air, which cracked me up.
Oh, I was talking about, I found a new acupuncturist, and she's Chinese and believes in Chinese medicine, and so she's just a plethora of information. And she was telling me yesterday how I'm concerned about losing my hair. I think with half of women, as soon as you have kids, for some reason, it just starts to fall out. And I mentioned how I heard that it's seasonal, that women shed and start to lose a lot of hair.
At a certain age?
Certain seasons, ages, dietary, stress. There's all these different reasons. And she's like, no, 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 no. It's all your liver. Your liver stagnation, your qi stagnation, it's stagnated. And she said there are several different things, but women who, and I won't do her accent because I don't do accents and it won't be pretty anyway.
Please, just one time.
No. And so she goes, she's explaining about liver stagnation. And then she said women who are not in relationships tend to lose their hair more. I said, what do you mean not in relationships? She goes, sex. Women need to have sex. I said, so I'm losing my hair because I'm not having sex? What?
Okay, wait. So you need to have more sex, basically.
Apparently. So guys, don't use it. Well, yeah, use it for an
excuse.
That's
a good pickup line, though. I mean, seriously.
I guess. Yeah.
Hey, I noticed you're losing your hair, lady. You want to go have sex?
I know. I heard that in Chinese medicine,
right.
You need to be. Well, then, of course, my next question was, so when you're talking about women have to have relations and sex, and it will help keep their hair from falling out, it'll help your liver qi stagnation.
Yeah.
Does that mean it has to be sex with someone? Or can I be doing
good
things?
Good question, though. That's a really good question. What was the answer to that question?
She said she thinks it has to be with someone because it's the emotions of love that go into helping your liver qi.
Yeah.
And I said, well, sometimes it's better without, but
hey, listen, Marvin Gaye, right? Sexual healing. There's some truth to that. yeah, really believe that.
But that will be an interesting pickup line, I guess, if people want to use that. I'm sure you had some pickup lines in your day. I mean, just look at you.
Stop it.
Come on.
I didn't need pickup lines, Kathy.
Oh, listen to you.
I just, see, this is my tech. I would like, if I'm at a bar, you know, club, I'd play a little cool. I'd smile. It was a smile. I smiled at a girl and like, I lured him in with.
Okay. You do have a nice smile. So I could see that.
Thank you. But then, you know, like, but that to me is a new age pickup line right there.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and I think, you know, I wonder as you get, you know, how old are you now? Do you mind saying? I know it's terrible to ask a woman.
No, I don't care. Whatever. I'm proud of it, and I can finally be proud of it. Wait, how old am I? 54?
I'll Google it for you.
I'm 54. Yeah,
please Google Kathy's age for her.
I was born in 1964. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you were dating now or out in the scene, is there, because it raises the question, you know, is there an etiquette for adult dating sexual timing? You know what I mean? Like,
well, look at Tinder.
Yeah, I guess
so. I guess whatever age you are, I think there's people that are any age that still want to just maybe have some fun and not get into a relationship. That's cool.
So at 50 something, because we don't know your exact age.
I know some people that are doing it, and
just casually though, like, hey, I've been married, I've been there before, not interested in all the drama and relationship.
No, they
just want to have a good time.
Mostly they want to go out and get a free meal. Is that bad?
A twofer, right?
They want companionship. They want to go out. And I'm sure if the guy's not creepy, then maybe the other stuff will come along. Who knows? And she can work on her liver chi stagnation.
Yeah, and her hair will grow back after that.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'd love to hear from you guys. 312-981-7200. Is there a right or wrong time period when you're dating as an adult or in your later life? Is it okay to just throw away the rule book?
And do it on the first date?
Whatever feels good. Did you earn that right at a certain age to say, yeah, you know what? I don't need to follow politically correct.
Answer to anybody. Do what I want.
I'm attracted to you. I just want to go for it.
If you're feeling it.
I'm feeling it.
Maybe if they use a cheesy pickup line, it's not going to happen.
Like your hair is falling out. I swear my acupuncturist told me this.
Somebody's going to use that.
I'm sure.
I hope.
As you get clobbered. 312-981-7200 is the phone line. You can also text us in. We do have one text question. My daughter lost her hair. This is from the 630. Can I have the name of the Chinese acupuncturist, please?
Oh, her name is Fen. I honestly don't know her last name. She's at a
How did you find her?
Salon in Fox River Grove. A friend of mine. And I hesitate to even, like, give her up because she's so good.
You're
I don't want to not get an appointment to see her. But there are so many different reasons women lose their hair. It was interesting to hear her concept and philosophy. Chinese medicine is a whole nother nugget.
I'm a believer.
Yeah.
For sure.
I am as well. It's lasted for a few years for them.
Yeah.
So they tend to know what they're talking about. And I'm always game for anything. I mean, I used to drink, what was it? Like canary spit or something.
Did you ever have bird's nest?
That's what it is.
Bird's nest.
Yes.
Canary spit.
Bird's
nest. Same thing.
Somehow that turned into canary spit.
Hey, let's take a quick call. Tom is going to talk to us about connecting with the right person. Hey, Tom. Thanks for calling the show.
How are you?
Hi, Tom.
How are you?
Great.
Doing well, bud. So what's your thoughts on the topic?
Well, I'm 49 and I'm in the dating world.
Okay.
So it's been my experience that it's really just kind of a connection between the two people. If it's going to happen like on the first time, the second time or whatever. I'm not one of those quote unquote pick guys. You're going to go out there and just look for it all the time. I look for a meaningful relationship. So I'm not going to give it up per se on the first time myself.
Okay. Oh. So I wonder, back in your 20s, you tend to do that a little bit more often. It's not even about the emotion or connection, but when you get older, it's more about the connection. So if you do feel it,
the
so
spark,
to speak.
Right, the spark.
Then you're okay doing it on the first date, if it feels right.
If it feels right. I mean, both parties obviously have to be in tune with it, but there's been times that I've had great first dates and nothing happened, but second or third, sure, but... been times I've been on a first date and it wouldn't even kiss her goodnight.
And Tom, we have to break here, but I just want to end on this note. Do you still feel like the politically correct thing, like I have to take two or three dates to get there? Or is it you kind of just going by your own rules at this stage in life?
I think at this stage, it's kind of like you're going by your own rules.
I think women are
really
the same
do.
Too, right?
For the most part. I mean, here, what is different, though, and I know you got to go to break here, but... is the sex drives right now for men are lower, for women they're higher.
At yeah.
The
age.
That's the other thing too. So
good,
you know, good stuff, Tom.
Mother Nature is very cruel at that point. Just so you know.
Hey, Tom. There's something called hormone replacement therapy, and we'll talk more about that in another show. But we don't have to give in to Mother Nature.
Oh,
Tom.
Good.
Thanks for calling the show. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom. Good luck.
Welcome back to the John Williams Show. I'm Frank Fontana. Sitting in for John Williams is myself and Kathy Hart.
Hi, I'm Kathy Hart.
That's so well, sexy sounding. Say that again.
Oh, thanks. Hi, I'm Kathy Hart. Okay, that's weird. Wait, let's have Phil do it.
Yeah. I'm Kathy Hart.
That's
See,
hot,
you're
Phil.
Sexier.
That's hot, Phil. Phil Patel is joining us. You hear him weekly here on the John Williams mm-hmm. Show, right? Regular food critic. We're talking about a restaurant you recently reviewed, Free Reign.
Yeah. There was a restaurant a couple of years ago, just a little bit north of here, called Green River. And it was a joint venture with some New York people and some people here. And it is very small, and it was part of the Northwestern University Medical Complex, so it was hard to find. But they had great cocktails, and they actually got a Michelin star for their work.
Oh.
Still wasn't good enough to keep them in business, but now Free Reign is basically the entire culinary team moving over to this little restaurant in the St. Jane Hotel, which used to be the Hard Rock Hotel.
Oh,
on Michigan
okay.
Avenue.
Okay. And when did it go to the St. Jane?
About earlier this year.
Okay.
They remodeled it. They did not change owners. They just changed, you know,
reinventing themselves.
Right, right.
Which is smart. That's mm-hmm. always smart. Which so many restaurants seem to do, just reinvent themselves.
Right.
Or completely start over when they screw up.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, if you've got the 10-year right. lease and you got to do something.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So what is Free Reign? What was your favorite thing about going to Free Reign?
Well, I was happy. The chef is Aaron Lorette, and I've liked his food, so it was very nice to get back to seeing him do his thing. And he's making the name suggests that he can do anything he wants to do, Free Reign, and so he does that. He just makes food that he finds really interesting, and it doesn't pigeonhole into any one definition. But
so you could theme it out as an American fare or
exactly just yeah. good creative. You know, chef-driven, what he finds good, just great product, and he doesn't mess with it too much.
What did you get?
Oh, they do a nice Dover sole. It's kind of expensive, but it's sort of sized for two.
Mm.
They had a pork collar that's sort
collar?
Of...
Collar?
Collar, yeah, the area, neck
okay.
area. And it's a nice piece of meat, and they kind of do it as a roulade. That is, it's kind of flattened and then rolled up.
Love
and
roulade.
Then it comes with this really, really nice glaze on top of that, and a sweet potato puree that I wrote was so good. I got to figure out how to make this in time for Thanksgiving.
Do you cook?
I do.
What's your favorite? What do you like to cook best, most?
Well, I always have fun cooking duck, doing duck breast.
Mm.
And a year ago, 2 years ago, my sons gave me a sous vide machine for my birthday. So
what's a sous vide machine?
Sous vide is, you know, literally in French means under vacuum. And what it is a form of cooking in which you have an immersion circulator that keeps water moving at a certain temperature. And then you seal the meat or whatever it is you're cooking. You can cook anything.
With eggs,
in there.
Right?
Right, eggs. But the idea is to cook things for a very long time at a very low temperature.
Oh, okay.
Low and slow, Kathleen.
And
the
circulation part is essential so that there are no hot or cold parts yeah. of the water. It's all the same.
You know what, Starbucks, when you go to like to get the egg sandwich?
I was just going to say
yes,
that.
That is my experience
with
the sous vide. Egg
yeah.
sous vide.
Because I tried making bacon bites on my own at home, and they suggested that machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't do it. Well, I don't have the machine, but can I come to your house and make bacon bites?
Sure.
Awesome.
Hey, you can also, I think you can get a sous vide machine now for about $125 at Target.
Oh, nice.
They are everywhere. And
you're more popular.
I have a big tub I bought so that I can do a lot of cooking at the same time if I wanted. I did a New Year's Eve dinner party where I did duck breast for 20 people, and I did it all sous vide.
I'm
so you need a pretty big
duck.
Vessel for that, but you can just put that thing, hook it onto a stock pot, and if you're cooking for one or two, that's...
Yeah. Well, your wife must appreciate you cooking.
She does.
Does she do any cooking?
Sure.
Oh, who's better?
Depends on what you're doing. If it's...
And if she's listening.
Yeah. Well, no, she's not. But if we're talking goulash and risotto, I bend the knee. And if we're talking about roasted meats, I might have the edge.
Risotto's tough.
Mm-hmm.
That's
long
a really
process.
Yeah, that's challenging.
The key is you never leave the stove.
No.
When you're the risotto, you're saying, I'm doing risotto. Everybody else set the table, cut the bread, do whatever else has to be done, but I'm here.
Can't walk away.
For the next 20 minutes.
You know, I've always wanted to, when I talk to food critics, I can't help but ask some of the experiences that you've had. Have you literally been to a restaurant? And I mean, people overuse the word literally and they don't use it correctly, but I'm asking, have you ever literally gagged on something that you've eaten at a restaurant?
Not at the restaurant. I've gagged at a few memories.
Okay.
Years ago, there was a restaurant called Michael Jordan's Restaurant.
Is this not around anymore?
No, thank goodness. And the Michael Jordan's Steakhouse is on Michigan Avenue. Yeah.
So it's not that one. You're talking about the one.
And there's Michael Jordan Steakhouse out
there. It was like 12 stories.
This was the very first one at the corner of LaSalle in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually operated by the brothers who started Bigsby and Carruthers. Menswear. Now,
oh,
yeah. We're showing our age. We don't remember Bigsby and Carruthers.
Totally.
And remember
that.
Michael Jordan as a player. And this was the restaurant. And there wasn't good. It was one of those, we've got 200 more tourists coming in every hour. We don't need you. And that was sort of the, and I had ordered with a friend some scallops. And I saw a waiter walking toward me. And 8 to 10 feet away, I went, oh, please don't let these be my scallops. No.
Oh, no, no.
They were that
really?
Bad. I could smell them bad, and they put them down in front of me. I said, you have got to be kidding.
Whoa.
Really?
I mean, somebody had to reach into the walk-in cooler and not notice that those things were rancid. They had to put it on a hot plate and stand over it and cook it and not notice that they were bad.
Whoa.
Plate it, and the person who's delivering it had to notice that. I mean, it.
Scallops is not it's an easy thing to cook for the most part. I mean, you can't really screw it up.
Right. And if you look for scallops on ammonia in a cookbook, you'll never find it because it's a really, really bad idea.
Speaking
of
ammonia.
And these things smelled like ammonia.
One of the bad experiences I had recently, I was at a restaurant and I was just, the food was fantastic. It just came. I was already smelling it. And as you know, smell is such an important part of the dining experience. Uh-huh. And just about to take the bite, the server started cleaning the table next to me with bleach. So all of a sudden, I inhaled right before I was about to take, and it just so ruined that experience. Yeah. And the bleach is obviously a strong smell.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so we actually said something because
I
loved
go away now.
The place.
How did they
loved
handle it, Kath? How did the restaurant handle it?
Well, I didn't say it to the server because I was gagging at the time. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the managers came over and he was doing something else. I said, by the way, you know, maybe a little tip that could come in handy for you guys.
Yeah.
Stay away from the bleach while people are dining.
Yep.
Because I'm not afraid to tell people that because I think it's in their best interest, right?
Absolutely. If he did it then, he'll do it again.
And I have to believe when you give a review that might not be so nice, for lack of a better term, I would imagine they might appreciate it as a constructive criticism.
I'd like to think so.
Okay.
I would like to think
so. Phil, question. Do you get to pick what you're going to eat that day? Or do they just tell you, we're going to bring out our best dish?
Oh, no. No, I don't. I mean, I've... some months ago, as we talked about off the air, I
came out,
I took my metaphorical mask off, and people know what I look like. But I still don't roll in there like the King of France and say, you know, entertain me.
I'm Phil Vitale.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, if I have to say that, it's already a failure, right?
I've seen your, was it the Ratatouille critic that you used as
yes, Anton Ego. Yeah. He's my Facebook avatar.
Yeah.
And I will never get rid of him until I get that inevitable letter from Disney's legal department.
Well, we're talking to Phil Vitale. We're going to take a quick break. Kathy and I will be returning after this, and we're going to get into some restaurant etiquette. Maybe you want to hang out, Phil. You want to hang for this conversation?
Sure. This is fun.
Great, and I'm sure a lot of people have thoughts that they can share on restaurant don'ts.
Sure. 312-981-7200. Call in with your, I don't want to say worst restaurant experience and share with
us. Restaurant don'ts, like tips to give restaurants, restaurateurs, owners, servers.
Here's a good idea. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, we'll be right back. We left off talking to Phil Vitale, who's still in studio. Kathy Hart's with me here, filling in for John Williams. John will be back next week, Alf.
King John.
King John, baby.
Yep, he's back.
I'm a huge fan of King John.
Yep.
I love him. We were talking about restaurant etiquette and like what's really one thing that's grossed you out in a recent restaurant experience. We got people calling in. We got people texting in. Let's read one here from the 815. My wife and I were at the sushi restaurant, and she noticed this guy kept putting a pen behind his ear, messing with his cell phone, touching other things around the place, and then touching people's food without washing his hands. My wife politely mentioned, you may not want to be doing that when you're handling people's food. Turns out he's the owner and said, oh, well.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I'm guessing they did not go back to that restaurant.
Especially not in a sushi restaurant, right?
No.
No. Why is he handling the food anyway?
As the owner. Yeah, who knows?
I mean, you've got a sushi chef.
Yeah.
And then you've got the people getting the sushi, and unless they're far away and someone has to walk it over, they're... shouldn't be any need to touch.
I once saw a guy, he was one of the servers, and he had one of the towels hanging out of his back pocket, and he was wiping off glasses. We saw him over at like the server station doing this. He was taking glasses and drying them off with the towel that was in his back pocket and wiping the rim of the wine glasses with that towel. And it just made me cringe a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, another text coming in here at the 847, which is one of my big pet peeves, is when you see a waiter or a busboy taking a dirty rag, cleaning a table with a dirty rag.
Right.
And this is goes in line with the 847 here. Big pet peeve. Restaurants that use sour-smelling mops for their floors.
Oh.
If restaurants have a sour smell, it doesn't matter how great their food is. It's a dining killer.
Right.
You have to notice that, Phil, in a lot of the places that you go to.
A lot of
the,
I've been lucky. I tend to hang out at some of the higher-end places.
And did come out wrong, didn't it?
Phil's not slumming it. He's not slumming it.
And, yeah, usually at my places, the mops don't show up until I am long gone. Yeah.
I meant you've been to so many places that you have to experience. Isn't it, though, because typically I find this smell in bars where I like to hang out. Doesn't it typically happen with that rubber mat that they have on the floor? And it seems like that smell just kind of stagnates in that rubber mat.
It'll trap the moisture underneath. And unless they clean it with a lot of regularity, it just becomes basically stagnant water.
Yeah.
Gross and stuff. Whatever else was in the water before it became stagnant.
Let's talk to Kate, who's calling in with her restaurant pet peeve. Hey, Kate, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, love you guys.
Thanks.
Hi, thanks, Kate.
And welcome, Kathy.
Thank you. I'm having fun.
Hey, I got to tell you about customers when you're sitting at a table, like, you know, a patron sitting there, and they decide to blow their nose
at the
table.
Not cool.
And the worst part is when you have somebody that is like, it's coming from their feet, that they are trying to get this big loogie out of their throat.
I know. It's so gross. You know, if you have just a little sniffle, whatever, I'll turn my cheek on that. But the one you're talking about that come from their toes, no.
And what about the one, is it okay to wipe with a towel or napkin that's on the table, like the formal napkins? Is it okay to use that? If you got to blow your nose
for a hygiene issue? No, not okay.
Excuse yourself.
Oh, right.
If it's an emergency and it's running down your face, then maybe use the napkin to wipe it. But
I mean, that's different. But just to sit there and then, and then you're like, really? I was just taking a bite of my shrimp right there.
That's good stuff, Kate. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
I'm never eating again, by the way. Just throwing that out.
We've destroyed Phil Vitale.
Let's hear from Tony, who's got an interesting story about HVAC blowing stuff on his food. Hey, Tony, how are you?
Good. We were having dinner in a restaurant. I won't mention the name. They had no air conditioning. They had the HVAC guys, and they're working on their HVAC system. They put some air pressure into the system. Well, the system was clogged by tens of thousands of dead flies, which were then pushed... blown all over the restaurant while people were eating.
No!
So gross. Mm.
I have not gone back, nor will I ever go back to this
Did they
place.
Offer everyone a free meal?
They didn't charge anybody anything, but I couldn't wait to go back.
No, you can't go back there. No. That's
a delicacy possibly in another country,
right?
But not here in Chicago.
Taking the waiter there's a fly in my soup thing to some absurd extreme.
10,000 flies in my soup.
Waiter, there's a fly in everything.
let's get our last call before we take a news break here. Dave is joining us. Hey, Dave, thanks for calling in.
Hello. I had just a comment about what a restaurant owner should not do when they're dealing with a party of 10. We came in, we all ate our meals, and we were just planning to have an after-dinner drink at the table, and then we were planning on leaving. The owner quickly came up and saw that we were all done eating and said, ladies and gentlemen, you'll have to leave now. I need this table.
What? Whoa, that's rude.
But kind of a Chicago thing, I would think. You know,
who cares? It's still rude.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was way out towards Rockford.
Whoa. Yeah.
Makes it less appropriate, maybe?
I don't know. It makes it more concerning than needed the table.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
And there goes your tip.
If you have, I mean, when you sit there and say, okay, well, it's going to be an hour wait, so you wait for those people. But
yeah.
This man could not use common patience, and we weren't going to sit there all night. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an interesting extreme. You know, you have the managers
Thanks, Dave,
that are working
it.
The dining room as though these tables are parking meters, and it's kind of tick 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 tick. You go now, and then you have the customer who thinks that his two entrees and a drink as a down payment on the table,
right.
And he's in there like an outman platoon. He's not going anywhere.
There's got to be a good balance.
You got to find a balance, and you've got to be able to approach it correctly. One of the ways it often works when you legitimately leave a table, I'm saying he has a table of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably this restaurant has a very limited supply of tables that can accommodate a large party waiting to sit. So the gentle way is to sit there and say, ladies and gentlemen, I would love to buy you a drink.
Absolutely.
At the bar.
Ah!
Yep. Wouldn't that be lovely? I'll throw in a dessert. I've got these people. They showed up early. My deepest apologies, but I would be happy to compliment you all around drinks.
Smart.
Over there in the bar and set them up, and then everybody's happy.
Pay attention, restaurateurs.
Good That's advice right. from Phil Fattell. Thank you so much for coming in, Phil. We
My
appreciate
pleasure.
It. And unveiling yourself and coming out to us. It's very, very nice. Thank you.
I hope you'll forgive me, but I want to make this clear right up front. I know you lost your mother, but remember that she's not dead. She's not gone. She's right here in the air you breathe.
Nice, but Mommy's not here.
Oh, no, she is here, honey. Your mother has been next to you the whole time I've been here. And here's what she's saying. She tells me one of your children is very sensitive to the other side.
I was working on my project in school, and I look at the side, and I don't see her. I don't see her cooking right there.
She keeps seeing her.
I know, and she's confirming that it's true.
That, my friends, is the voice of Concetta Bertoldi, a globally renowned psychic medium with a 2-year waiting list. Concetta consults regularly with members of Britain's royal family, American celebrities, and everyday people.
Also, New York Times bestselling author of the books, Do Dead People Walk Their Dogs? And Do Dead People See You Shower? Whoa. And has a new book coming out in May, I believe. I Kissed a Ghost and I Liked It. Is that right, Concetta? Is that the title?
Yeah, that's right, honey. And there was one more. It's called Inside the Other Side.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you so much.
So good to have you on the show, Concetta.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate it.
So the first question, I know there's so many skeptics out there. We're just going to address that right away. Concetta, one of the things I like to say is it doesn't require your belief to be real. So this mm-hmm. is something very real to you. How did you even realize you had this gift?
I never remember not hearing dead people. I've heard them all my life, and I was very fortunate to be born to a family who was very accepting. So it allowed me to flourish and be protected at the same time. So, and for the skeptics, they have a right to, everyone has a right to believe whatever they want to believe. I'm not here to make anybody see it my way. I'm only here to try to help folks to know there is a much better place that awaits us all. We live here in Camp Earth, and where we go from here is home.
Definitely true. Yeah. Again, when you're talking about skeptics, I think that it's one of those things that until something happens to them personally, it's hard
right.
to understand. And I was really skeptical because I thought, well, wait, how can you just hear someone's name?
And how does that work? Like, do you see their faces, Concetta? Like, explain to the listeners. Like,
okay,
what, in
I
your
hear
head.
Them in my subconscious. It's not. It's very hard to explain because it comes differently all the time. And at this stage of my life, I don't enjoy seeing them because when I was younger, it was a piece of cake, no problem. But when you're in menopause, everything is compromised. So you just want very much to have a calm, peaceful life. And I always make my agreements with them with my faith in God because I always have called God into all of my work. And when I want to be left alone, they will know that because I can call that. But when I hear them, Frank, it's in my subconscious. It's on automatic pilot. It would be similar to you if you were washing your car mm-hmm. and it's something you've done many, many times and you don't give it much thought. You just know the next step and where you're going. So it would be in that kind of safe spot of automatic pilot, resting subconscious state where I can hear them.
So how do these people come to you? Do you feed off someone's energy? Like, are you feeding off my energy or Frank's energy?
I feed off the energy. Yes, I do. I can channel into a voice. Energy, voice, we are made of pure energy, and your voice is energy. Mm-hmm. And what happens for me is I work every day, as I said, with prayer. So if I'm going to work with clients or do an event or show, I always make sure the other side is on board with me when I say, you're allowed to speak to me, you're allowed to give me your messages if you're in the light of God. If you're not in the light of God, then I'm not interested and you're not welcome.
And get out.
So
okay.
That's yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting that menopause even affects speaking to the dead.
Right?
Well, I'm glad you have a sense of humor because I also have a very rich sense of humor.
I pull it into
all of my events.
Good.
Good stuff.
All right. Well, Conchetta, I know that we're going to take a lot of phone calls. A lot of people are waiting on hold. I'm curious if you're just in talking to Frank and I, have you gotten anything from either one of us?
With you, Kathy, yes. I mean, obviously, you know, I never met you, and I don't know anything about you at all. This was arranged by someone I know. I'm doing the show on Saturday. So I know nothing about you, but I know that you have a mother who passed away, and immediately through your voice, I can hear your mother tapping into this. So your mother is desperately wanting me to tell you things. And in all fairness to you, she's so excited. She's been reunited with her own mother and telling you that she is so at peace and there's so many people with her that took her home into the light. She desperately wants me to tell you she's a guardian and a protector of her grandchildren. She's saying so many names and they might apply to people who are alive as well as dead. She's showing me a photograph that you have of yourself and her in the photo, which she knows you treasure. She's showing things you've kept of hers, material things that you have kept that either were clothing of hers or material of some sort, mm-hmm. could be even linens and stuff like that. All I know is that she's desperately wanting you to know that she is with you, never left you, and that she is in the light of God.
Oh, you know, it's funny you mentioned linen because, I know you're used to people crying.
Crying is a good thing, Kathy. You know what it tells me? It tells me you're human, and I can love a human being.
Yeah.
So when I find someone who cries, it just makes it close to my heart because we can all relate to that.
Kathy, well, when you mentioned linen, I thought of something that after she passed away, I went to her home, and she was a big cross-stitcher and a big crafter.
There you go.
And she cross-stitched. It's on linen, a cross. And
oh, my.
I have it on my nightstand.
And you have it because she said to show it to you. And wow. It's interesting because I didn't know what it was because she was talking so fast. The minute I heard your voice, I connected to her.
She
couldn't wait to tell you that she was listening and here and a part of this. And nothing is a coincidence. Remember, God's way of remaining anonymous. That's what a coincidence is. And your mother is in the light of God. And she's saying some names. I hear somebody that says the name of Joe or John. Do you have any idea who that is? It could be James. These are names that I'm hearing as she's talking. So she's either calling out to people here or identifying people who are with her there.
Okay.
And there's also an Ellen or a name with an E. So I don't know if it's Elizabeth or Ellen. Do you have any idea who these people are? But there's some names that she's mentioning.
Yeah.
And also she's showing me, to me, I know I'm talking fast, forgive
it's
me,
okay.
but I know
no,
your
good.
Listeners only have a certain amount of time, and I want to get to as many people
okay.
as I possibly can. Okay, Kathy, okay. She shows me, to me, it looks like pearls. Do you have any idea what these pearls are that she would say with all my love, and she shows me these pearls?
Yes, I took some pearls of hers, too. I felt so bad because there's other siblings, and when we went to her house after she passed away, we were all like, I want this, I want that. And
okay.
I kind of snuck in, and I took her pearls.
Well, she's mentioning the pearls, and she immediately says to tell you, with all my love, honey, she does want her children and her grandchildren to know she's a guardian and a protector.
Okay.
She will never leave you. She's very, very much in your life still. Don't make the mistake of thinking she's sleeping or gone away.
So when you need her,
just call.
We call her, honey. All right,
tell her what you need, what you want. Always remember to bring God into it simply by just saying, in the name of God, hear this prayer. Because I want your listeners to also know that I don't single out any religion. I'm a firm believer that we're all of the same cloth. We're all of the same God. And we have the right to choose where and how we worship here. And I'm in favor of it all, so long as nobody says mine is better than yours.
Okay.
I want to join in every single capacity. I was fortunate enough to be born to a family with many different religions and ethnic backgrounds, and my father and mother were really beautiful human beings who taught us to love and respect. respect everybody. So that's how I roll.
We have, by the way, that was fascinating. And I think the John and the E thing is possibly because we're filling in for John Williams and our producer is Elif. Not sure if that correlates. But we do have to take a quick break. We have a jam-packed board of phone calls waiting to speak to you. So let's get to it. We're going to take a break. Get yourself ready, Conchetta. Take a deep breath because you're going to be channeling some stuff in a second here. We'll be right back.
Okay, we want to get to as many calls with Conchetta as possible. So I know, Kathy, you've been holding on from Downridge Grove for a long time. Alexandra, Margaret, we're going to try to get to as many as possible. We're going to go right to the phones. All right, let's go to Kathy. She's been on hold for a long time. Thank you so much, Kathy.
So, Kathy, please just tell me who Patricia is because I need to hear your voice.
She's my mother, and she passed.
Okay. No, don't say anymore. I got her already, sweetheart, so don't you worry. Okay? Immediately, as you say your name, it's like all of a sudden she's right there. And she says the person that she's with is a father figure who she wants you to know she's happy to reconnect with. Now, somebody in the family had an alcohol problem because I smell alcohol. Can you tell me who that was?
It was my mom and my sister.
Wait, and why did... Kathy, you just took a big gasp about something Conchetta said. What was that?
Oh, it was my grandfather.
That she was talking about.
Well, she's very happy to reconnect with him and to tell you that they're at peace. But the immediate thing I smell is alcohol. And her response is to please don't let the children drink. Because there was definitely problems in the family from the choice of being of choosing alcohol. So she wants me to say immediately to the family, darling, tell them no drinking. Tell them grandma said no drinking. And she's with a lot of other folks, including her father, who I feel, you know, they had issues. I don't know what went on between them, but she wants you to know they're a great piece today.
Aww.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks,
thank you, Kathy.
Oh, you're welcome, honey. God bless you, baby.
And back,
you too.
Back on the line, we have Sherry. Elif, I'm going to pick this up. Hopefully it doesn't hang up again.
Okay.
And we hung up again.
Oh, no.
Dang
what about Conchetta?
Yeah.
Shoot.
I'm not sure why it's not locking in, but hi, Sherry.
Hi.
So we're getting, for some reason, we're having some difficulties locking Conchetta, but she's coming back on the line right now.
Okay.
And Sherry, you said something about connecting with your Uncle Pete. Now, you don't want to say too much because we want Conchetta to do her thing here.
Mm-hmm.
She should be back on the line shortly.
Uncle who passed away kind of suddenly, who I was very close with, and he does come to me, so I'm just dying to connect with him.
No, it's interesting that you say he comes to me. So are you, because a lot of people have this gift, they have certain levels of this gift. Are you saying that he comes to you, like you see him or hear him, or how does that work?
Totally. It's kind of weird, but so he doesn't come to me visually, but there are signs around me all the time. Like if I ask to talk to him, like something will happen in the next hour and he'll give me that sign, or he's given me messages before. It's just something that I've kind of always had. But I wouldn't say it's extreme. It just comes once in a while.
Okay. So we have Conchetta back on the line. And this time we're not touching the phones. We're going to let Elif do everything.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Conchetta.
We're good, folks. We're good.
All right. You got Sherry on the line, Conchetta.
She's back.
Sherry, who are you looking for, darling?
I'm looking for my Uncle Peter. His nickname was Mutsy.
Okay, there you go. So who's got all the brothers? Why am I hearing about all the brothers right away? So was he the one who had brothers? What?
Yeah, he has two brothers who they were all, like, inseparable and very close.
Okay. Are the brothers passed away as well, dear?
His brothers are both alive.
Oh, then that's why. Okay, so he wants probably to mention the brothers because I'm assuming, by the way, he's saying, mention my brothers, how much he loved them, and I wasn't sure if they were there with him or not. But let me tell you and ask you this. Who had the baby that passed away very young? Because he immediately wants to say, to tell them, they come through with a lot of validation and memories that you'll understand, hopefully, that will let you know it's really him who's talking. So immediately he says, they'll be happy to know the baby is here and among us, and I know the child that did not stay. Who had the baby that passed away?
I don't know. I'd have to ask their his children, if there's something
okay,
that they
I'm
know
assuming
about
it's
that.
One of the grandmothers, sweetie, and I'm assuming it's one of the, a baby that didn't go full term like that, either lived a short time, because he's telling me that there is a highly evolved mission entity that is among them that belongs to the family. He's showing me a multitude of photographs that the, everybody has all these pictures that are all over the place, mantle pictures hanging on the wall, collages, and he loves being remembered this way. And he also shows me a uniform, so I'm assuming that he was either in the Army, the Navy. Do you know what he means?
The only thing I can think of is that his father, a photo that was hung in our Nana's house, he was in uniform, and that was a prominent, predominant photo.
Okay, and what? Okay, so it's either Army, Navy, or something like that. And there's more than one Peter, so who's the other Peter that he refers to?
Maybe my other uncle. He had two brothers and a sister. My aunt's husband was named Peter. He also passed away.
Oh, wow.
Then that's why, because he's saying he's with the other Peter. So I know there were two of them that are passed, because he's saying to please tell you that. You're about to sign some papers, and I don't know what you're buying or what you're doing. He's asking you to read the small print. So either you're buying something or you're moving and you have to look at the lease. I'm not quite sure. It's coming up in front of you, and he's saying to tell it. Make sure you do this. Read this. So there's something in fine print that is going to be put in front of you that requires a signature. I'm asking you to read it twice. That's what he...
Okay.
He's like a very protective father figure, and he's coming across like a protector to you.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah,
Sherry, thanks so much. We're running out of time. We've got to go to a break. Conchetta, are you able to hang with us for a little bit longer?
How much time?
I sure can.
Awesome.
Okay, good. There's so many people we want to get to, so we're going to go to break and get to more people. It's Conchetta Bertoldi at the Wilmette Theater Saturday night. We'll give those tickets away a little bit later.
I'm Frank Fontana. That's Kathy Hart.
And Conchetta Bertoldi is our guest. She's going to be at the Wilmette Theater on Saturday night with Jen Weigel, WGN's very own Jen Weigel, doing Conversations with Weigel. And we're going a little long with you, more than we planned. And thank you, Conchetta, for sticking around, because some of these callers have been on hold for a really long time. So let's get right to Alexandra.
Yeah.
Alexandra is here and wants to reach someone special, I'm assuming. Hi, Alexandra.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm trying to reach my dad. His name was Ephemial, but we called him Baba.
Okay, sweetie. So tell me who got his watch, because he's saying something about his watch, and it was very special.
My sister did. Sorry.
And he wants to say, please tell her I said, give this to her with all my love. And he shows me this very special watch immediately. He has a dog with him, sweetie, that he said to make sure I mention, too, that you all would be very happy to know the dog is with him. And the dog, I even hear a name. It's like a two-syllable name. I can't say it perfectly, but it's almost like he's going, Booby, something like that. What was this dog's name?
I think he had one when he was younger.
Hmm.
And do you know the name of the dog?
I don't.
Well, here's what I do know. He loved animals, and he's telling you that the grace of God is that animals don't die, and that they go, the animal is created by God. Animals are created by God. Their life, they go back to God. And he's saying, please tell you that he has animals on that side, because he loved animals. Very sweet man. He talks about your mother, and he also tells me about when he passed away, because he wanted to be let go. He's telling me his body was very tired, and that he had a lot of laboring going on, and he said, please say thank you for letting me go. So I'm assuming, by the way, he's saying that someone told him it was okay to go. And he shows me lots of fluid in his lungs.
Ah.
In his lungs. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
do you know what he means when he says somebody told him it was okay to be that would let him go? Who told him that?
He was in pain his whole life, so it might be related to just being in pain for a long time.
All right.
Yeah, he said it was very compromising, but he was very tired. So that tells me he was tired of dealing what he was dealing with. And that at the end of his life, he was horizontal, and that he shows me all this laboring in his lungs and in fluid, and it was really he's saying the grace of God, that God took him home, and that he's very
he was in
the at peace
now. For a long time before.
Mm. What, babe?
He was in the hospital for a long time.
Yeah, he was tired of it. He told me he was very tired of it. But he is loving the way he's being memorialized and remembered by his family, and telling them that he is still able to hear you. And he loved reading or writing. He either wrote or would love to read. but he knows there's things of his that have been kept that were either things he wrote or things he read.
That's beautiful.
And he loves that you have kept them.
Alexandra, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it and hope that connection helps you a little bit. Let's move on to our next caller, Margaret.
Hi, Margaret.
Hello.
Who do you want to reach?
Who are you? I want to reach my brother, Tim. I call him Timmy.
Okay. You know what, Margaret? It's interesting because when you, the minute I heard your voice, I heard the name John. So can you tell me who John is to you?
My Uncle John.
He passed away, love.
I was very, very close to him.
Very good. And he's with your brother, Timmy. So there's where the connection is. And Timmy is telling me to tell his, he has people on this side that you're still friends with. And he's saying, please tell them you've heard from me. Somebody got a tattoo or something.
Really?
You know, with that. What? I can't hear you.
I'm so glad that he's amongst us because I worry because I feel like I want to see some signs from him and I haven't seen many.
You know, the reason you're not, sweetie, is okay, here's what I like to tell people. You can see the signs anytime you want, but if you're looking for something really big, like from the movie Ghost with Whoopi Goldberg, you're going to be disappointed. So you want to look for simple stuff, and that's how you start, by saying, I need you to help me find these keys. I need you to help me find this piece of paper. Timmy, please show it to me. And always bring God into it. Say, in the name of God, hear this prayer. And then watch when it unfolds and you find the keys or the piece of paper, realize that was not a coincidence. But can you tell me who got the tattoo? Because he shows me a tattoo. Who got a tattoo?
I don't know anybody who did.
Oh.
I really don't.
I'm going to ask you, you know his friends, am I correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay, these are the things that I feel bad about when I'm in front of an audience and they don't realize the validation later. One of his friends got a tattoo. And he's saying to say he knows about it. So somebody got something to do with him.
And I think
you're going to find out. And sadly, you're not going to tell us on the air, and these people in the audience are not going to know. But I know I'm sure of it.
Yeah. So
and here's what else he said, darling, just because I want you to get the most out of this. When he passed away, it was around a very, was it a holiday, a birthday? What's he trying to tell me? It was very significant.
It actually was the birthday of my niece.
There you go. So that was his niece too, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because they're brother and sister, right. He said it was very significant, it was on a very significant birthday, so he knows it was on his niece's birthday that he passed away. These are just validations, so you'll know for sure it's him.
Good stuff.
Chetta, can I ask you, I want to ask you a question, because you bring up something, and if we can't get to all these people, it seems like the majority of the people that you speak with want some kind of sign from someone that has passed on. How do you... What would be your best advice to offer to people to look for signs? Because there's the stereotypical lights flickering or something, but I have one very, very specific with my mom. It's a Georgia license plate, and I won't get into it. But
you mentioned that.
That's okay. I know it has to do with numbers and things like that,
so,
because she already showed me. But what you want to know is that every one of us gets signs from them. And most people who are very deep in their grief, they are having a hard time seeing it because your love is always as deep as your grief. So what you need to do is have faith that they are not dead, and never, and have trust and belief that there is God and they're in the light of God, and that will be your key to seeing the signs from them. And everybody has different things, and some people have the same things, but it's because once the soul knows they've got your attention, they'll do it again. Now, I know you mentioned your mother's with the license plate. She knows you're looking for that now, so now she's going to deliberately make sure you see it.
That's
because
why I brought it up. I think that if people can find a sign, something that was significant, because her mother's name was Georgia, and so that was significant to us, we started noticing more Georgia things. So I think in giving advice to people that believe, not all people do, but if you believe and you're looking for a sign from someone, maybe...
Oh, I could tell you... I could tell you stories you wouldn't believe, Kathy, but it's okay. I wish we had more time. I can only tell you that your mother is showing me a date while she shows me this license plate. So now I can't let that go. I've got to know what it means. Why is she showing me numbers, your mother? I know she shows you the license plate, but she's also showing numbers. What has that got to do with anything? Is somebody seeing numbers from her?
Well, we typically do. Oh. Oftentimes we see her birthday, the year of her birthday, in a license plate.
Okay.
So
okay, and I'm curious to know, only because I can't let this go.
Okay.
Is there threes in this, in that number?
Yes. She was born in 1938. Yes.
There you go. Because
so that's
she keeps
the number
showing
we see.
Me, she's trying to show me so much even as you talk.
Yeah.
But truly, darling, you must tell your audience, or as they're listening, every one of us can see signs easily by just having faith in the fact that they will show signs. And then, when, like I told that lady before, tell them what you need. They're there to help you. Mm-hmm. They will help you. They love being involved.
Well, we
and
can't...
then when you get what you want, 8 times out of 10, realize it wasn't a coincidence.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Once you're finally able to recognize the signs. But we have to go. We
unfortunately,
could spend
yeah.
a lot of time with you. But Conchetta, thank you so much.
And there's tons of people holding
oh, my
folks.
Pleasure.
We do apologize for not getting to everybody. But here's the good news. You can go see her live at the Wilmot Theater Saturday, this Saturday, 7:30 p.m. With Jen Weigel's WGN's very own Jen Weigel. Tickets are $50 in advance and $55 at the door. VIP tickets. What do the VIP tickets get you? By the way, they're $125.
I don't know. I have to speak to Jennifer. I'm
you know
sorry,
what?
I don't know.
It's on the website. You can go to thewilmottheater.com.
Oh, good.
Get the information on the website. We've got 3 pair to give away. I think we should almost offer them to the people that have been on hold.
Good
idea. If they can go, I'd like to offer them to the 3 people that have been on hold the longest. And if they can't go Saturday night, then we'll open the phone lines to allow those people to come see you. All right, thewilmottheater.com. It's Conchetta Bertoldi.
Thank you so
much.
You've
got a
Conchetta.
New book coming out in May. I Kissed a Ghost, and I liked it.
Love it. Thanks
Thank
so much,
you
Conchetta.
Both. You're adorable. It was so much fun to be on the air with you.
Well, thank you, Conchetta.
We'll have you back for sure. Thanks so much. Welcome back to the John Williams Show. It's Kathy Hart and me, Frank Fontana, filling in for John.
Trying, anyway.
We're trying.
Yeah, sorry, King John.
We got possessed by the boards over here. Something took over.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy.
Conchetta brought the spirits.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Halloween Returns coming out with Jamie Lee Curtis this Friday. You saw the original, right? Didn't everybody?
Scared the pants off me.
With Mike Myers and...
Yeah, that whole franchise has been around for 40 years. You believe that?
How many Halloween movies were there?
22.
Probably felt like it.
Something like that.
There are so many. Yeah, I stopped seeing them after a while. I saw the original, and that just, I was not a big scary movie person. Did you like scary movies?
Not particularly. There was a couple that, you know, when you're like in your teens, you get challenged by your friends to like, oh, did you got to mm-hmm. watch this. You got to watch this. So I was like pressured into watching Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh.
It haunted me literally for years after that.
Now, which one? Is that with Freddy Krueger?
Okay. Yeah.
So Mike Myers is Halloween. Freddy Krueger is...
Friday the 13th, I think.
Okay. Or no, Nightmare on Elm Street.
I don't know.
See, there's so many.
Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. But Jamie Lee Curtis is back in Halloween Returns. There were some kind of interesting things from this movie that I didn't even realize. It was apparently based in a fictional town of Haddonfield, Illinois. Mm-hmm. But I Googled it. And when I Googled it, all these stories came up that I thought, wait, is this real? Because it talked about Haddonfield finally celebrating Halloween after a 15-year ban because some guy named Mike Myers. So finally, I kept reading. I'm like, wait, this is fake.
A fictional, yeah.
I mean, you can Google anything and who knows what's true and what's not. But the town Haddonfield was apparently based on the town in New Jersey, where I think the director John Carpenter and his wife.
There's a lot of horror movies that use Illinois as their home base for some reason. Why do you think that is?
I could get into politics on that, but I won't. We'll save
it's
that for everyone
thing.
Else on this station.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know what fascinated me about this is that it took less than 2 weeks to write that script, to write the Halloween script. That's insanity.
I know that a lot of people have been on WGN talking about with script writers, and they work for years on screenplays and never get written or never get produced. So, yeah, 2 weeks isn't bad.
It took me a year and a half to write my book. 2 weeks, Jesus.
You're no John Carpenter.
No, I'm not.
No.
Not.
And you know what? Another interesting thing, at least it was interesting to me, I don't know, and maybe some of the girls, most of the main cast provided their own wardrobe. So Jamie Lee Curtis bought her costumes at JCPenney, all for under $100.
Crazy. You mean, you'd think that like they probably didn't think this movie would really fly. The way it sounds like it came together.
You know, that's true. I think for a lot of horror movies, they seem so campy and cheesy,
yeah.
And then they just become kind of a cult favorite. And then there's Halloween 22 coming out, like you said.
Right. Hey, guys, if you want to chime in on the whole Halloween thing here, what's the movie that stuck out to you or affected you or made you lose sleep at night? 312-917-200.
Yeah. Or did this movie Halloween like affect your Halloween for the rest of your life? You couldn't go trick-or-treating because the movie scared you so much. Did the movie affect you in any odd way?
You know what I think about when I say, like, the original horror movies, like, he just had a knife. Michael Myers just had a knife for the most part.
Yeah.
Right? Or did he switch to a chainsaw mask? That's a good tool.
No, I think you're right.
That's Mike a good Myers killing just had tool. The
it's just the way he stood and stared.
Yes.
Yeah. And that mask. That mask was creepy.
My scariest movie that still affects me to this day is The Grudge. I, like, can't shower. I don't even remember the movie at all, other than something came out of her head. And I shampoo quickly. I'm like, get it out.
That's the creepy long-haired black who walks like a spider upside down that scene.
It stays with you forever. You can't, especially if it's something that specific in a shower, and the movie just stays in your head every single time. Because how long has it been since that movie came out, and you've been affected by it?
Well, maybe not every time I shower,
but... She can't shower. Have you smelled her lately? My God.
It's been about 13 years.
Yeah, how about you, Kath? Is there one movie that really stuck out to you that kind of you lose sleep over?
I stopped going to see scary movies because of that. I'm going to age myself, and I don't care. When I saw Jaws originally, I think I was at 8 or 9, 10. At that age where you just reality isn't really formed in your brain yet, I thought Jaws was going to come and get me in the bathtub. Huh. I thought Jaws was going to come up through the toilet.
Oh.
And we went to the Jersey Shore every year and swimming in the Atlantic Ocean. So it took me years to go back into the ocean. I'm still a little bit affected by
it. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I don't swim past like my knees. Like if there's water beyond my knees, I don't go in it.
It might be movies that you see at that age when reality, like I said, doesn't really quite strike your brain yet. And so... Yeah. It's completely irrational, but it's a fear that stays with you forever.
Let's hear what one of our callers has to say about this. Let's talk to Paxton Mary Shelley. Hey, how are you?
Hey, hi, guys. Enjoy the topic. My name is Paxton. I usually talk with Nick late at night. But this is a good topic. Mary Shelley, the wysshe of Percy Bysshe Shelley, the romantic poet.
Mm-hmm.
She entered a contest in the 1830s, a horror contest, and she came in third place, and she wrote Frankenstein.
Wow.
Oh, get out.
And Percy Bysshe Shelley entered her in, and she didn't want to enter the contest, and she wrote it, and then it became a very famous work, and she always regretted that the monster had no name.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Victor Frankenstein was the creator of the monster, but everybody thinks Frankenstein, that's the monster's name. And she always regretted that she never named him.
Well, that's an interesting little bit of trivia. Thanks, Paxton.
Good nugget, Paxton.